All right, guys, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, as I ask you to go here, you're probably thinking, George, I thought we were going to focus on Christmas. I didn't know there was a Christmas passage there. Well, yeah, there's a passage that refers to Christmas there. And I think we're going to take a look at it today. And what we're going to talk about are the benefits of Christmas. We're going to talk about the benefits of Christmas. Now, why are we going to talk about that? Well, sometimes in the midst of the celebration, in which, does everybody recognize we've got celebration going on right now? Okay, some of you are having family gatherings, so of course we had our son and daughter-in-law and grandson over for the weekend. Of course, my other son showed up. We had pizza. We're playing games and everything. And so it's that time of year when families get together. You got celebrations. You have celebrations at work, celebrations with friends. It's a festive time of year. And so when you think about Christmas, well, here's my point. During Christmas, we often enjoy the benefits now, right? We enjoy the benefits now. This is the time of year when maybe you're in a job where they give you a bonus, right? Okay. I remember when I worked at Piedmont Airlines 40 years ago as a college student, they gave us a Christmas bonus. First time I was ever introduced to a Christmas bonus, okay? And they gave us a $100 bill. That was awesome. You're talking 1986. That's back when $3.25 was the minimum wage. And Piedmont Airlines gave all of us a $100 bill. The next week, we got a 1099 and telling me how much taxes I was going to owe. And it's like, oh, well, it's not that great of a blessing, is it? But it was, okay, and it was. And the reality is, we think about celebrating now. But that's where the problem lies. Because come January 1st, we celebrate that, and then we get back to normal, right? Christmas is coming in 12 months, and the, quote, benefits of that. But what I want you to notice is that the benefits of Christmas reach far beyond our current celebration. The benefits of Jesus coming and being born, of course, growing up and going to the cross for us, reach far beyond. And that's what this passage talks about. So I want you to notice with me, we're going to read it together. I want you to notice what Paul says in Galatians, his letter to the Galatians, fourth chapter. Let's start with verse 3. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Now here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to break this down into two sections. If we're going to understand these eternal benefits, okay, we got to understand what Paul's presenting here. So in verse 3, we're going to see the human dilemma. We're going to see what was our situation before Jesus came, okay? Now with that, he's going to tell us that Jesus has come. And with that, we're going to see in the final section, the benefits. Or should I say, I was thinking about this later, benefits sounds so, almost like you kind of earned them a little bit, you know what I'm saying, with your job or whatever. Maybe the better word is gifts. We're going to see four gifts that he gave you and I through Jesus coming and our being a part of it. All right, so let's talk about the human dilemma first. So let's focus in on verse 3 again. Here's what he says. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Now, what do you mean? When we were little, George, is that what he's talking about? No, no, he's talking about immature. Immature in what? Immature in the faith. Immature in understanding what God really wants for us. He's really talking about when you and I were out without Christ. So two things stick out here. Here it is. First of all, without Jesus, you were a slave. And you're like, yeah, I don't think so. Maybe that's true then, Lord George, when most of the Roman Empire were slaves, were very few freed men. But you know what? I grew up in Kerwinsville. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I grew up in the United States, and we don't have any slaves. I was never a slave. No, 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 that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about that you and I were slaves to sin. You and I were slaves to doing wrong because we were born with a corrupt nature. We were born in sin, so therefore we continue to sin. And because of that sin, our destiny was not good. In fact, the way he puts it here, we were enslaved to what? Elementary principles of the world. Now, what is he talking about that? Elementary principles of the world. Well, here's what I want you to see. You were enslaved to the influences of this world. What guided you is the influences of this world. Now, what do you mean by that, George? Well, if you go over to Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, Paul very clearly tells us what our situation was and how these influences in the world were guiding us. So I want you to notice what he says here. Verse 1. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Now, what's he talking about there, George? Well, he's saying, in the beginning, where in Galatians he talks about you and I being enslaved, he says to the Ephesians, you and I were spiritually dead in our sins. And you were basically led about by three major influences that are in this world right now. What do you mean? Well, the world, that's the world system, the way the culture is. You were led by that. You were led by Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. Now you're saying, what do you mean I was possessed? No, no, he doesn't need to possess you. He's a tempter. He knows exactly what it takes to get you to do something. Usually to get you to sin. He knows what to do, right? So we were following his influence. But then there was one final influence, our own desires, our own passions. So we were basically in a bad situation, weren't we? Spiritually dead, led by these three influences. And that's why Christmas had to happen. What do you mean? So I want you to notice with me what verse 4 and 5 say. Here's what he says. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, what we're going to do the rest of our time here is we're going to focus on the eternal benefits. Or maybe I should say the eternal gifts. We're going to see four things that Jesus coming in a manger. And folks, sometimes this time of year, all we think of is the baby Jesus. That's fine, you can think that, but I'd like for you to think of it all encompassing. The baby Jesus who came, lived among us a perfect life, and would go to the cross to die for you and was raised again. When you think of Jesus, don't think of him just as a baby. Think of him as Savior. Think of him as the Son of God who came to do something for you. And what he did for you just by coming and then going to the cross He gave us four eternal benefits, four eternal gifts that are way beyond our comprehension. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to talk about here. And I hope you can grasp what he's saying here. So here's the first one. God sent his son so that he could purchase you from slavery. He sent his son so that your situation would change. What situation? Well, I told you, you were a slave. You were a slave to sin. And because of that, you were facing the consequences of that. Now, what do you mean by consequences, George? You were facing eternal damnation, period. You were going to hell. The lake of fire, ultimately, in the book of Revelation. You were going there. And here's the bottom line. There was nothing you could do about it. Sometimes we think, well, you know, if I could be good enough and maybe I earn enough brownie points with him when I stand before him, maybe he'll accept me. I've heard that line a few times here in the last few months. And the reality is, no, that's not possible. There is nothing you could do to get out of our situation that we were in. Bottom line. And so he sent his son to redeem you, to purchase you. Now, how did he do that? Well, other parts of the scripture tell us he purchased you with his blood, meaning his sacrifice that he made. So it's not about you, how good you are, how you know, you did really well this week, you had a closed parking spot at Walmart and it was packed, but you saw an old lady driving in her Edsel and she came up and you decided, I'll just give her my spot, right? No, that's not what happened. That didn't do anything for you. So I should take the spot? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying your attempts to get God's attention don't work. They're not working. But here's the bottom line. You have his attention. And he loves you so much, he said who? Jesus. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son? That this is the reality. God sent his son. Now, it's interesting. There's a phrase there. I hope you don't miss it. I just got to make a comment here. If you go back to verse 4, but here's what he says. But when the fullness of time had come. What does that mean, George? It was already determined when this would happen, and it happened exactly at the right time. Why? So that you and I would have another chance. This is the wonderful thing, isn't it? God came at the right time, went to the cross at the right time for you and I. This is what I want you to see. Now here's the second benefit. So the first benefit is he released me from the slavery, the first gift. Isn't that awesome? Here's the second gift. Here's the second benefit. Again, from verses 4 and 5, God sent his son so that you could be adopted into his family. Look at what he says here in verse 5. It's amazing. He says, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. We're not stepchildren. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not even foster children. We are his adopted children. He cares about you so much, he wants you to be a part of his family. And he did it because Jesus came. Isn't that awesome? What a wonderful gift. Now, some of us, can I be honest with you? It happens. I know it happens with me. Problem is, we're still living in flesh, still corrupted by this world, still dealing with our own desires. And the reality is that sometimes we make wrong decisions and do wrong things. And as soon as that happens, first thing that enters into our mind, because remember, we've got an enemy. We already talked about him earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air of this world, Satan. He's also known as the accuser of the brethren. So he will come and accuse you. And what enters into our mind is the things he accuses us of. Well, there's no way God can continue to love you. There's no way God could continue to accept you. There's no way that if you're his child, you shouldn't be doing this kind of thing. And the reality is no, you don't understand. His adoption had nothing to do with you. He just didn't decide 40 years ago in April of 1985, oh, there's George. Yeah, I think I'll take him. That's not what happened. Do you know what I'm saying? That's not even a reality. He gave his life so that all of us could have the opportunity to be a part of his family through faith. Period. And so when you think about it, that's a wonderful blessing. It's not just the blessing of being redeemed. It is you and I are literally a part of his family. A part of his family. And nothing's going to change that. Isn't that awesome? And in fact, it gets even better. Here's the third one. Look with me at verse 6. Here's what he says. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What's going on here? Because you were adopted, God sent his Spirit into your heart. Now, I want you to think about relationships for a moment. And I remember 33 years ago, dating Lori and just wanting to spend all my time with her. But the problem is, you can't go to university and spend all your time with Lori. You can't have a job and spend all your time with Lori. We're limited, right? We're limited in our relationships. We want to be with our loved one, okay? We want to be with our loved one. I'm going through that again right now because I have a grandson. And I'd like to spend all my time with him. But the problem is, I got a job. I live an hour away. So most of the week, I don't see him. And they're not sending me pictures. Okay? They occasionally do. Okay. So the reality is, we were talking about separation anxiety. I'm having separation anxiety sometimes. Okay? You guys understand what I'm talking about, right? That's human. That is not true with God. He loved you and I so much that he gave us his son who would go to the cross and die for us so that we could be redeemed, we would become his children, and to make it one step more, this just blows my mind, so that one step further, he put his own spirit within us so that he could be with us all the time. Never separated from us. Isn't that awesome? Talk about someone must really love us, right? That he wants to spend that much time with you and I. That's God. And you say, well, boy, that's more than a benefit. No, that's a gift, isn't it? That's what Christmas is about. That's year-round, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 52 times a year, you know? That's the reality of the benefit of Jesus. And it just doesn't end there. It just doesn't end there. What do you mean? Well, there's one final point I want you to see. Look with me again, verse 6 and verse 7. Here's what he says. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Here's what I want you to see. In doing this, God allows us to have an intimate relationship with him. Now, when you read that passage where he says, crying, Abba, Father, we understand Father. It's the Abba thing we don't understand. Abba is the Greek word meaning, are you ready for this? Daddy. You can go to him. Call him Daddy. Now, that has special meaning to me because I'm from the South. I'm a child of the South. Grew up in the South, and I don't know that I would have ever called my father Dad. I sure wouldn't have called him Pop, because he said, "I would pop you," okay? But I know that it was a term of affection. It was not just for kids. In the South, the intimacy would be reflected in just referring to my dad as Daddy. And that's what I called him up until the time he was killed, was Daddy. And in fact, it even carries over in the South. You call your grandpa Granddaddy. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's just reality. And what God, what I thought is so wonderful about the gift, he doesn't, it isn't just that he gives us the Spirit to live with us that shows how much he wants to spend time with you. He wants you to go to him and have such an intimate, relational time with him that you are so familiar with him that from your heart you say, "Daddy." That's what God wants from us. He wants us to be so close to him. Now, I know some of us maybe have not had good relationships with our fathers. I understand that. We live in a fallen world. But maybe in your heart, you were wanting a close relationship. You wanted to experience that. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can still have that. Maybe not with your biological dad, but with your heavenly father. You could go to him and just bare your heart to him and say to him, "Daddy, Daddy." And just go to him and say, "This is what's going on. This is why I need you. Don't you see the pain? Don't you see the hurt? I know you're with me, so you're aware of it." So you could be relational with him. That's a benefit, folks. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't so that we could put stockings up and fill it up with candy. It wasn't so that people could send me boxes of food to eat. You know, "Hey, George, here's a gift from us," or whatever. You know, it wasn't so that we have all these gatherings together and eat all this food and then we talk about losing weight after the new year. You know, it wasn't because of all of that. None of that. You know, it wasn't so that we could make sure the economy's going good because we all bought a bunch of gifts. You know what I'm saying? It's because Jesus came to do so much more than that. To redeem us. Get us out of our slavery. To adopt us as his children. To have intimacy with us by giving us his Spirit within our heart. And having such intimacy, I can have such a familiarity with him that I can go to him and just say to him, "Daddy, I love you." That, my friends, is Christmas. That's what it's about. And that's not just in December. Which, by the way, technically Jesus probably was born in April. Okay? That's when the shepherds are with their sheep, being close by, it's birthing time. But hey, somebody decided, I think it was one of the popes, decided to make it December. It's okay. We can celebrate it actually, what? Every day. Why? Because out of his coming came those four gifts. That's what I want to leave you with today. That's what I want you to think about. That's what I want you to be blessed by. Let me pray for you. Lord, you have been so good to us. Even when we were in a situation where we could not even help ourselves, you reached out and died for us. You came as a child. You lived perfectly among us. You were cruelly sent to a cross, but that was all part of your plan. So that the penalty would be paid for our sins, so that we would be freed from our slavery. And it didn't just stop there. You adopted us as your children. We're in your family now. And you so loved us that you didn't want us to be alone. You gave us your Spirit who lives within each and every one of us. And because of that closeness and intimacy, we can come to you and cry out, Abba, Daddy. We love you. And I pray for each one here that we would cherish the relationship that we have with you because Jesus came. We ask this in his precious and powerful name. Amen.